does. Sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan. That's great. You did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. We want to make sure that the HMS Beagle sinks nice and slowly with Charles aboard. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation, where we came from, where we're going, and all the other things that bring meaning and purpose to life.
Yes.
And today, Stan, we want to talk about our mummies.
Our mummies. Is it Mummies Day? No, I think not. It's
Mummy,
a little after.
It's actually getting closer to Father's Day. Passed by two just recently. So,
yes.
The time of our recording, we are looking at the mummies, but not mommies.
We're talking about mummy with a U. Are we talking about ancient Egypt?
No.
Oh.
We're talking about ancient Dakota.
Ancient Dakota.
Maybe North or South Dakota. I don't know where it quite came from.
Well, here is a flash from National Geographic News. Flash. Dinosaur mummy found. Has intact skin, tissue.
Ooh. Actually, it is quite a... Ooh.
Yes, it is.
Intact tissue. Normally when you think of dinosaurs, you think of bones. You think of the tail bones connected to the hip bone and et cetera.
And when you think of mummies, you think of Egyptians. And I don't know.
And
were there
embalming
any Egyptians
fluids
in Dakotas?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
no, what they mean here is that they found a 67 million year old hadrosaur and they named her Dakota.
Dakota.
She was one of the infamous cows of the Cretaceous.
Ah, the Edmontosaurus hadrosaurs. I am familiar with them. John, did I tell you about the time I went to Wyoming to dig dinos?
You did. And matter of fact, you not only told me, you showed me some of their bones. And
yes.
You even gave me a few.
Uh-huh.
And you even showed me some fossilized tendons.
Yes, fossilized tendons from this very kind of dinosaur, the Edmontosaurus, which was a duck-billed dinosaur. They were about 30 feet long, actually bipedal. They rode around on a bicycle. They walked on two feet.
Big feet, mind
kind
you.
Of like a big giraffe
than a size. 11.
Yeah, exactly right. Weighed in a few tons, but were actually, as you mentioned, kind of like the cows of the Cretaceous.
They would eat their veggies.
They were vegetarian. Now, and you know what? One thing that's interesting about them is that this dinosaur field in Wyoming, they have estimated that what they were looking at in terms of bones in the population was more than 30,000 of these big dinosaurs
in this neck
of the woods.
That area had large buffalo herds at one time, too.
Maybe
they got run off a cliff, too. Anyway, Stan.
Yes.
Now, what we're saying here,
John,
though, that when we're looking at this hadrosaur, and I mentioned that you showed me fossilized tendons. What's so unique about Dakota here? How is Dakota different than what you showed me?
Well, the reason that this is news is not that they found evidence of an Edmontosaurus, is that with this body of bones, they found soft tissue that had been preserved, like skin, like tendons, like ligaments, and these were not bone hard. These were preserved at like a mummy. You know,
they had some flexibility to them.
Something to it, yes.
And
enough of it to where they just simply describe this as a mummy. And, you know, it's three-dimensional. It's wrapped. The skin was wrapped around
the bones.
You know, 3D, you know, and they were actually able to do some measurements of this mummy.
And
measured the posterior and so forth.
The soft tissue came near the tail, which was, I guess, their derrière.
You know how you stretch the thing
one
to see what the measurements are? Well,
yeah,
they
she
did
had
that
big hips.
She had big hips.
They actually think that what happened is because they found this soft tissue, they concluded that she had hips that were about 25% larger than previously thought.
Yeah, so this, she is a big girl.
Big girl.
Dakota. And, you know, they
those
estimated...
hips really swayed. No, anyway.
And they also did an interesting study or guess on how fast this dinosaur could perhaps move. And they came in at a guesstimate because of the increased leg muscle mass and all this. It could run 28 miles an hour. And you know why she could run 28 miles an hour, John?
Because T-Rex could run 27.
That's exactly it.
T-Rex was chasing her.
Yep.
And he didn't want a date. He wanted her lunch.
That's exactly right. And of course, the news about this is that we're talking about a dinosaur that supposedly became extinct some 65 million years ago, and it's found preserved rather well here for, you know, talk about your aging skin.
I mean, where there's a beauty regiment waiting to be found.
Girls, how would you like to lose 67 years, million years in your appearance?
In your appearance. Well, Dakota has some secrets for you, and she has discovered how to preserve your skin for millions of years and look almost like the day you were born. Soft as a baby's bottom. Not quite.
We might be able to sell something here.
Oh, yes. Well, really, you know, Stan, the irony is that when you look at the evidence...
Doesn't go with the model, does it?
And when you read the article, you know, this is, again, a National Geographic website article.
Yes.
What happens is these scientists who are studying it, they have statements like, it's rare to find an articulated skeleton, and even more so to find one with fossilized soft tissue. In other words,
yes,
this is probably only the second or third find ever of soft tissue.
Well, you know, of course, well, they found recently, and you know, we've talked about this on Sink the Beagle, the T-Rex leg bone that they broke open to move it, and inside of it they found preserved soft tissue that was still pliable and could move around. And of course, that's again difficult to explain if you're 65 million years old. But, you know, now they're thinking maybe we ought to look more carefully at dinosaur bones, and frankly, I think they've started to go around kind of breaking bones when they think there's a chance. And I think there is evidence, I think there is a growing thought that perhaps we're going to find more soft tissue as we're looking more carefully for it.
And what's really funny is that seems to defy this idea of soft tissue is really defying all thinking and models about fossilization and everything else. They have to rethink their models, and I don't know what they're going to come up with, Stan.
Well, you've got two choices, John. Number one, either you say, well, boy, the Dakota, North Dakota, where this was found must be really dry and it stayed the same and perfect. Man, are we lucky that, and all of that kind of stuff for 65 million years? Or they could say, you know, under almost any condition we can think of, this would be considered way more recent than 65 million years.
It's either a lucky find miracle.
Yes, which is where they're going.
Lucky find miracle.
Or what we might ask them to think.
Is that maybe it didn't happen that long ago, folks. Maybe we're talking a few thousand years, which is more plausible and actually even... might even fit some models if you can put together the right stuff. You know, you can enter the right conditions in the computer.
And a reminder is that these animals that are found, almost virtually all fossils that are found of dinosaurs are found with mud or sandstone around them. And as one creation scientist used to joke about it, he said, you know, the usual methods of thinking of how a dinosaur became extinct was asteroid or smoking or, you know, or some of these sillier ideas, or a mammal started eating the eggs, you know, and killing the young that way, and all these different views. And he said, this scientist said, you know, it's kind of funny because whenever we find a dinosaur, it seems like they drowned.
Ooh, that suggests that the method was a flood.
Flood.
They keep using these F words that they don't like.
Yes.
Faith and flood.
F bombs.
And so we're looking at this creature here that they found that they don't know. They say that, unfortunately, the skin doesn't have much color, which is kind of amusing to think that they may have had a lot more color to them. Like she maybe had some makeup on or something, and she stripped it off before she died or something.
You know, when they see scale size change in certain areas, like around joints and things, they say this does correspond to modern reptiles in ways in which there were sometimes stripes and in colors and everything.
Like that green iguana kind of look or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe they had some green color.
They
might have had an orange or bluish color to them.
It's as close as they've gotten yet to decide that there may have been colors. You've seen, if you look at dinosaur pictures, artist renditions of 50 years ago or something, they're always gray, kind of brown, ugly, or gray.
But in
more recent years, you see, more recent pictures,
a little green,
stripes and stuff. Sometimes kind of interesting. And I think the evidence of this is that there's some support. There may have been some coloration.
There may have been, and that's fine. We haven't any trouble with coloration.
Oh, not at all. Interesting.
But we do have. We argue the date.
Yes.
We argue the date, and we argue how they got there.
Yes.
They died.
Yep.
They died in a flood.
Yep.
And the reason why they died in the flood was there was a lot of violence in the world.
Yes.
And there was a being that actually was behind the violence and knows all about death and dying and stuff like that. And we have a torpedo tech stand.
Well,
it's kind of an unusual one for Sink the Beagle. It's not one we'd quote. It's actually, we're quoting not so much the words of God, but the words of Satan.
Of all people. And one of the earliest books, we believe, along with Genesis, the book of Job, was also written by Moses at a very early time, to kind of record the story of Job and give an idea where suffering came from. And the source of suffering was this person named Satan. Verse 4 in chapter 2 says, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin."
Ah, yes, skin.
Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. So we think that that's a colloquialism from that period of time, some little phrase that had meaning
Satan,
for the folks.
Satan, in the first visit, according to the book of Job, to the courts of heaven to test Job, was able to destroy his children, his material things. But Job says, let me touch the soft tissue.
Yes.
Let me actually apply pain to his physical being, not just his emotional being, material being, but let me apply pain to his physical being. Let me touch his skin and he'll curse you. And of course, Job proves faithful. Satan gets to cover him with boils and make his body full of sores, and was able to afflict his soft tissue, the evil one, and yet he was unsuccessful in getting him to deny God and lose his faith.
Job kept his faith in the Creator God, and actually some of our favorite texts about the Creator God that we worship and that Satan was bringing charges against was in the book of Job in the later chapters. But it's interesting, if you think about it, John, the reason that skin breaks down, the reason that any of us have problems with aging and with corruption, as the Bible talks about, the body subject to corruption. Mm-hmm. All of this is because this world has been touched by this Satan person.
By this devil.
This source of evil.
And it's just amazing that they found some, quote, skin left on this dinosaur, but it doesn't surprise us at all that you'd find anything like this, because it still fits in the parameters of a biblical story of a world gone bad, of a judgment that has come upon the world with the flood, and God allowing it to be washed, so to speak, clean, burying, destroying the dinosaurs, and maybe, I think, kind of just tweaking our modern world, which wants to deny God. It's as if God is sort of saying, I'm going to give you another chance to rethink your theories, folks.
Yes.
How about a little soft tissue this time?
Yes, right there in America where the controversy is.
Let's find a little soft tissue and see if Dakota can teach us a few lessons.
You know, John, when you think about Satan being the one that touches skin that brings disease and death and aging, it's interesting that Jesus also spent a lot of time healing people and touching people, including those that were unclean with leprosy and other skin diseases. When he touched them, they became whole again. And, it's the touch of Jesus in the life and the heart that restores and that preserves, dare I say, and keeps us for a better world and a better time, better planet.
I like also the biblical truth. Not only does Jesus touch him, but it says that the Word became soft tissue, so to speak.
Ah, flesh, that's
right. Became flesh. The Word became soft tissue and embraced, touched,
we
healed.
Touched him. Yes.
We touched him with our, we saw him, we touched him, we beheld the Word of life. Mm-hmm. And really, that's your choice. You can choose to follow after the God of the universe, and or you can choose to chase after the ways of this world. Mm-hmm. We hope you would choose to allow the same God to touch you, and that's the only true beauty and preserving agent that really will last forever.
That's right.
So tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week. my friend, you're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.